You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, friends, yes. What is left to save of the Giants season? Why you just need to chill about Zach Wilson? And why is this taking so long for Aaron Boone? It's all on the table tonight. We are just getting started. It's Carlin on 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776 on Twitter. It's at Chris Carlin, Instagram, and on TikTok, that guy Carlin as well. We get to all of these topics through the course of the next 2.5 hours. We're taking you right up until the Dodgers and the Giants game 3 here on 98.7 ESPN. I would encourage you to get involved in the show. The Giants yesterday, we can talk about the injuries all you want. Doesn't matter. They weren't winning the game. They were in it, but they weren't winning it, and we all know that. It never felt at any point during the course of the game in Dallas yesterday that they really had any sort of possibility of winning the game. And it's unfortunate that that's the case, because that would have established some sort of life. Now, if you had had all of your components, would you have won the game? No. Would you have had a better chance? Well, of course. But the biggest problem with the Giants losing yesterday had nothing to do with Daniel Jones, had nothing to do with the receivers, all of which were out, had nothing to do with Saquon Barkley going down. It had to do with the fact that the Giants could not stop the Cowboys to save their lives. Not in any moment did they have a chance. And that was the biggest issue. One thing that is so abundantly clear, and it just freaking kills me to admit, is that the Cowboys are pretty good. And dare I say, they are the class of the NFC East through the early part of the season. And when I tell you that that is painful for me to admit, it is exceptionally so. I still believe that when it boils down to it in the playoffs, that they will blow it because it's what they do. But let's all at least acknowledge that first and foremost. But secondly, the Giants defense, it's just bad. It's nowhere near what we thought it was. Nowhere near what we thought it was. One of the big problems is James Bradberry.
I can't really put my finger on why that is, but it starts with Monday. We got to show up, come to work Monday, correct our mistakes, and then throughout the week we got to execute at a high level so that when we get to Sunday we'll feel more comfortable out there.
I can put my finger on what it was. James Bradberry is not anywhere near the player that he was a year ago. And C.D. Lamb thoroughly embarrassed him at times yesterday. Here's Rex Ryan this morning with Dave and Rick on the Giants defense.
You know, everybody was talking about this defense coordinator being the next head coach somewhere, like hot candidate and all that. Why? Because you had one decent year? And sometimes we get tied up into this thing, like thinking, oh, this guy's legit. You know, this defense is legit. Nah, this is a prove-it league. You got to prove it every time out. And the Giants haven't done that so far. And, like, they have a chance going in there. You're thinking, all right, the defense just be who we thought you were going to be. Well, they haven't done that the entire season.
No, they haven't. And it's been the biggest problem that they have. And it was supposed to be the number one strength that they had to lean on. Everybody was questioning whether or not Daniel Jones could play. We're questioning whether or not Saquon Barkley was going to be able to come back. A lot of other questions, some of which still require answers. But this has taken all of the life out of the Giants' season. And let's not forget that. Patrick Graham was getting plenty, as Rex said, of attention this past offseason for all of the good work that the Giants did last year when we expected them to do very little. Well, now we expected them to do something, and they're not great. They're not even the Giants' defense of the Jesse Armstead, Michael Strahan days, where they would tell you how good they were, but in crunch time, when it mattered the most in the fourth quarter, they couldn't stop anybody. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. They're not even that. they're against a good offensive team, not even going to give you much of a chance to win the game. And against a middling offensive team, they're going to struggle and make them look better. And we've seen it on a couple of occasions. We've seen it. This is the biggest issue that they have. There are other problems, and we can get into them all. But to me, if you're not paying attention to what's going on that side of the ball, that is where everything lies right now. We'll get into Daniel Jones. We'll get into Barkley getting hurt again, which just, you can say whatever you want. It doubles down on not drafting a running back where they did. And that's going to be Dave Gettleman's undoing. And we can get into whether or not these injuries are a legitimate reason for everybody to just calm down about how bad the season's going to get. Because make no mistake, the season's going to get bad. And I have to tell you, what is going to be most surprising about that, if you had asked me before the beginning of the year and told me that the Giants are going to have an awful year, what's the number one reason? If you asked me that question, I would have said Daniel Jones. It's not even close. It's not even close. It's the defense, and that's why. Let's roll. Carlin, 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Let's start us off tonight with Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, what's up, baby? How you doing tonight?
I'm good, Carlin. You know, I mean, not good about
you don't sound great.
And sports in general. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with what your point with the Giants. I do not want to hear these trades, I mean, these injuries as excuses for anything. Right now, I seriously think every single person, from the head coach, the general manager, the two coordinators, as of right now, their jobs, they should be fired. And now the final weeks are them playing for their jobs to see if they should survive and see if they should make it back next year. Because right now, they should all be fired. And it sucks to say it. Daniel Jones has been playing so well. But if the Giants were to fire everybody and Daniel Jones is playing so well and a team like, I would take a trade. Like you saw what Carson Wentz got. Carson Wentz traded for a first-round pick. Sam Darnold, I think, got a first-round pick as well in the trade. Like if a team like if the Denver Broncos said, man, Daniel Jones is good and we got a ready-made team, you offer the Giants a first-round pick, I'm ready to clear everybody out if that was the case and move on. You get three first-round picks, you'd be a terrible team. Hopefully the Bears lose more games, but that's the only thing good about the Giants, and yet they're winning. Everything's crashing down. It's destroyed. It's over. And you know what? The only thing I care about is I can't wait for the New York Knicks. Baseball's over. Football's over in New York. I can't wait for the New York Knicks.
How very sad for you.
All right.
It is. Right. It is absolutely brutal right now. Cullum, I can't argue with you. It is absolutely brutal what's going on. And to your point about Jones, the only thing that gives me pause to potentially agree with you about the idea of a trade is the fact that he can't stay on the field. And look, I know what happened yesterday, okay? He lowered his head into it, too. I'm not going to blame him. He's now officially in the protocol, in case you didn't know, so we don't know where he's going to stand this week. I'd have to believe it would be incredibly difficult for him to play against the Rams, on Sunday. I'd be shocked, and frankly,
nobody should play that game. Andrew Thomas shouldn't play. Obviously, Barkley's not going to play. They should not play a single starter and just redshirt that game, because if people play, Aaron Donald's going to kill people.
So, Mike Glennon, have at it.
Yeah, I mean,
you're disposable. Go enjoy it. Yeah. Cullum, appreciate the call. Look, I know where you're coming from. They're not giving up the season just yet, but I want to be... You know, guys, I want to be optimistic about what the situation is in general. I want to be an optimistic person. I think I am. I try to be. And there are so many times where when I look a little bit deeper inside of something, I tend to look more for the potential problems as opposed to solutions. So I guess that doesn't necessarily make me optimistic. But it's not that I'm expecting something to go wrong. I just try to look at things realistically. And with what the Giants have in front of them right now, I can't realistically feel good about it. Although, you know, the Chiefs didn't play particularly well last night. I don't think the Giants are going into Arrowhead in a couple of weeks and, you know, taking advantage of that situation. But you get the point. I want to look at this and feel good and think like there's really good things coming. I have a lot of trouble doing that. The only thing I've got to feel good about right now is Kadarius Toney. And he threw a punch yesterday. I've never understood that. Throwing a punch, and I get it. You're in the heat of the moment. Throwing a punch with the helmets on, I don't get it. I don't get it. Knee him in the gut, you know? You got to do something else. Go to the body. You got to do something else besides where the pads are to do some damage because you're not doing it in a helmet. All you're doing is breaking your hand. Mo in Staten Island is next on 98.7 ESPN. Big Mo, go.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Chris? So the last thing that you were saying, I really agree with it, that you're trying to be optimistic and but at the end of the day, you got to be realistic. But I think when you say that the injuries that have happened to the Giants should not be an excuse, I have to disagree. I don't think that's really being realistic. The reason why is because you're talking about the starting quarterback, the starting running back, and you have your anchor at left tackle. If it was only Andrew Thomas who was injured, then I could agree with you 100%. There's no excuse. But you have Daniel Jones and Saquon out, and you already have Darius Slayton and Kenny Golladay out. Like, how many injuries could a team on the offensive side of the ball, especially that's the side of the ball that's carrying you, how many injuries can they really deal with?
Look, I agree, but let me frame it another way. If everybody was healthy yesterday, were the Giants winning?
I think if Andrew Thomas was healthy, if everyone was healthy, I think the Giants have a very realistic chance, especially
considering
the fact
that
the
question.
Giants...
If everybody was healthy, are the Giants winning the game?
Yes. Yes.
You're wrong. See ya. Adios, Mo. No, they weren't winning the game. They may not have lost by 25 points, but they weren't winning the game. Jones is playing better, and I'm not downplaying what he means. I would hope / optimistically expect that it would be one game that he would miss because of the concussion protocol. I would hope / expect. On Barkley, guys, I can do nothing but shake my head. I get it. It's a bad little accident that happens, but even the lack of productivity in year two brings us to year three and now year four. He was just starting to show a little bit, a hair of the explosion that he had before the injury. And now this, you can't pay him and you can't rely on him as part of the offense. And this is where ultimately Dave Gettleman screwed the whole thing up from the beginning. From the beginning, it's where it happened. He may have gotten Jones. He may have, you know, been able to find out that he has a franchise quarterback or at least a pretty good one that you can win with. But that doesn't matter. What you did was you took an incredibly valuable asset and you wasted it on a position in the hopes of trying to win again in the short term. And frankly, this is what the Giants have been all about here for the last few years. And this is not good, guys. You need to look at what's coming. This is not setting up well for the future. It's really not. Let's spend a few minutes on the Jets, shall we? Here's what Zach Wilson is right now. His default setting is to go to playing Madden. When it's not there, throw the ball as far as you can down the field and hope. That's what he does. And he doesn't have any touch on the ball short, as we saw, you know, setting up a screen that would have worked. And he hits Morgan Moses in the head. He makes great throws. I'm not remotely worried about this. These are just habits that have to be taken out of his system. And every quarterback has them. But when you're this particular quarterback and you go back and you watch how he played at BYU, you understand why this is what it is. He was so far and above better than everyone else that he could just chuck it downfield and beat a lot of teams with bad secondaries, and he didn't even have great receivers. You look around the league, there might be one of his receivers that actually got a chance in the league. I don't know. I'd have to go look. But remember what I told you. I did the BYU bowl game. And so I watched a lot of his games in preparation for that. And this is what he does. Yeah, he makes unbelievable plays down the field. And that's super impressive. But that is where his mind is right now as a default setting. Right? What do I do when in doubt? It's not check down and dump it off. It's air it out and take a shot, and maybe something good will happen. Well, when you fall so much in love with your own arm strength based on who you're playing in the past, I understand why that's the case. Totally get it. And that will come. The one thing I can tell you with pretty good authority, this is not a dumb kid. This is not a dumb kid. And while it might be exceptionally frustrating to watch him continue to make the same mistakes, we are five games in to Zach Wilson. And if you look at the other quarterbacks around the league, and it's not just Josh Allen, as the Jets pointed out today, and they pointed out that today that Josh Allen's first five games were about on the same par as far as quarterback rating, you can go to most of the quarterbacks in the league and their first few games. I mean, we have to take Patrick Mahomes out of it because he sat for the entire season. And that did him a ton of good. And he learned, and that's why when he was ready to go, they handed him the football. And when he was able to get in there, he hit the ground running because he's such a tremendous athlete. But guys, I can take you through chapter and verse. Lamar Jackson's numbers out of the gate were not amazing. Yeah, he could run, but his other numbers were not great. 59%, 731 yards in the first five games. Four touchdowns, three picks. Baker Mayfield. Daniel Jones. Derek Carr. Even Sam Darnold. I don't need to remind you about that. These were not off-the-chart performances. That is so few and far between to have those guys. You can have incredible talent, but when you're learning how to compete in a league that was so far and above the level that you were competing on before, it's going to take some time. And the patience is required. And I know that's a freaking curse word to you guys, and justifiably so. I completely understand. And you're wrong, or you're not wrong to just say, oh, shut up with patience. Totally get it. I would just ask you this question. What choice do you have right now? The Jets have given you no reason over the years to believe in them. There are reasons to believe that things are getting better. You can focus on Denzel Mims if you want. I'd focus on the fact that Elijah Vera Tucker is playing very well right now. Another first round pick. I don't think these drafts are nearly as bad as they're being made out to be, and guys are developing and getting better. Give this some time. Give this some time. Was James Morgan a wasted draft pick? Of course it was. Of course it was. You're hoping to get a backup quarterback down the line. Did they make a mistake not getting a solid backup so that right now you can actually tell Zach, you know what? Sit down. Watch for a week or two. Because if you had Nick Foles, if you had Josh McCown, if you could have pried him away from coaching high school football, he'd have a chance to watch two quarterbacks that understood what they were looking at. And they would get a chance to play, and he would get a chance to watch it and really see it up close and personal and not just on tape. But you don't have that. They've made their mistakes along the way, but if you're giving up on him, and I've heard some people, you know, just screaming and yelling, fire everybody. Guys, we just got to settle down here. Now, there was one thing that was said today that I would find particularly alarming when it comes to the Jets. And you will hear that next. That in just moments.
It's Carlin.
I just want to ride the bike.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Through five games, the Jets have something like 65 yards total on their first drive of the game. They cannot score in the first quarter, as we know. It's been absolutely brutal. And I heard something this morning when I was up early listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, and why wouldn't you be, between 5 and 8 a.m. here on 98.7 ESPN. Rex Ryan, 740. Tremendous. Rex is always a good spot, always going to tell you what he thinks. And when it came to the Jets' bad starts, he did not mince words.
That's your preparation. Like, how you start a game is a direct correlation to your preparation. And the fact the Jets have started off as bad as they have, I don't know, it doesn't speak well. At least I always thought it was as a coach. You know, how you come out of the blocks is all that work you've done. You know, and you're right, those first 15 plays, scripted plays, you should be successful. You've worked them all week.
Yeah, and it hasn't worked. So when you hear that it has to do with preparation, that's a little bothersome. Is it 100% accurate? I don't know the answer to that. But when you're a coach and you feel that way and all those plays are scripted and you're not getting out of the gates quickly and you're not getting anything going early, don't you have to look at everything? I'm sure that he will. But what are we doing wrong from a preparation standpoint? That they can't possibly be changing everything they do every single week on the first couple of drives. Three and outs galore in the first quarter this year. 800-919-3776. Marty is in Hicksville. He's next on 98.7 ESPN. Martin, what up, dude?
What's up, Chris? How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Good. Listen, I'm going to preface what I'm about to say I don't think my complaint would have affected the outcome of the Jet game. But honestly, there's a third down on the first drive of the game. The Falcons have the ball. Quincy Williams comes in, hits the quarterback. An absolute clean hit. Didn't drive him into the turf. Incomplete pass. They throw a flag. An absolute ridiculous call. And this sport that we're looking at now, I'm 50 years old. This isn't even close to the sport of what I grew up on. They've taken the safety issue to far too great a length. These defenders can't even come and hit the quarterback. I don't know if you saw the play and what your opinion is.
Oh, I saw the play.
A ridiculous call. I mean, what? He didn't drive him. He didn't hit him in the head. He hit him to the side, right where you want to hit him. And to make it worse, these announcers, well, you know, they're trying to protect the quarterback. No, you need to call that out. That's a horrendous call. And definitely, obviously, continued that drive. They're off the field if that play's not called. And you don't know how things develop. This team does not have a lot of leeway.
No, you don't have room for that kind of I don't even want to say mistake. It's a mistake by the official, and I totally agree. Thanks for the call. Look, there's no getting around. It was awful, and I actually liked the way that Saleh handled it today and yesterday. Handled it today on the Michael Kay show, and then yesterday. Take a listen to what he had to say about the questionable call.
Anytime you get a third down conversion, you know, it's hard. Now you're getting to a whole other set of plays. It's just, it's added reps. It's especially when you feel like you won the down and it's, and you see that. But it's not an excuse by any sense of the imagination, but it's a call when you're fighting your tail off, and a call like that doesn't go your way. We still got to find a way to get off the field.
Yeah, and he today went as far as to say, I just want to know how to teach my players. And that is exactly what you want to say if you're a head coach, to criticize the officiating without criticizing the officiating. I just want to know what to teach my players to do and not to do. That's all. Because you're saying that based on what I've been teaching my players and based on what my understanding is, that's not a penalty. And he even rolled off. It wasn't like he drove him in and then laid on top of him. And as Salah said earlier today, and he's not wrong, that was supposed to be about defensive linemen who were 320 pounds landing on the quarterback and not a 240-pound linebacker on a blitz. Arthur, sit tight. Let's hit Greg in New Jersey next on 98.7 ESPN. Greg, what's going on?
My man, Chris, how you doing, brother?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, you know what? I look at the Jets, right? I'm a Jets fan. 22 starters, right? 11 offense, 11 defense, okay? There's only two players that have done well, okay? And both of them are linebackers, okay? Quincy Williams, and C.J. Mosley. That's it.
That's not exactly
true.
Vera Tucker has graded very high the last couple of weeks on the offensive line.
Okay, but I'm talking impact. Those two guys are the only two guys out of 22 starters that have done
Greg,
anything.
Let me ask you a question. Let's talk about the offense for a minute, okay? What's the biggest factor on offense to having success? The quarterback.
For your quarterback, right?
The quarterback, right? The quarterback has not played well. He's a rookie.
No.
And when you have a guy going through these kinds of growing pains, everybody else is going to look worse. That's just the way it is. So when you complain about the receivers, when you complain about the offensive line, I mean, just look at yesterday, right? In 3 weeks, somebody's going to look at the Jets stats and look, they've given up X number of sacks. Look at the end of the game yesterday. When he takes a 15, 16, 17-yard sack back on the 32-yard line, the offensive line's going to get blamed for that, but that's on the quarterback. Those are the kinds of things that the quarterback can influence, especially when he, at times, is not accurate with the football. It makes everybody else look bad, and it also doesn't help because it gives a defense a chance to load up against the run. So my point to you is simply this. Everybody looks bad right now on the offensive side. The quarterback influences everything. Influences everything. And that's where your big problem is.
One more point before I let you go on Rutgers. Okay?
Yeah.
I love your passion, brother. I don't think you even went to that school, right?
I did not. I went to Hobart in upstate New York. But I'm from New Jersey.
That's a better school.
No, it's not.
I went to Seton Hall, and I root for Rutgers in football. But your passion, brother, I love it. Keep it up. And
I
you're doing a wonderful job, brother. Okay?
I appreciate that very much. Thanks for the call, Greg. It's a tough one over the weekend, but, I mean, the last three teams, this is the Big Ten, man. The last three teams they've played, Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State, and they were in two of the games. And basically, you've got the 6th, 7th, and 9th ranked teams in the country, and they're a combined 17-1. So, second half of the year is coming up. Maybe they get a chance to get some more wins. Their remaining schedule has a record of just 17-17. So, we'll see. Let's hit Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, what's up, baby?
Hey, Cat Daddy, what's going on, man?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I've been better. I mean, you got to turn on this ALDS.
I know.
Boston.
I know. The Red Sox win tonight. This is going to be awfully tough to take if the Red Sox are playing in the ALCS.
Oh, my God. Ben Simmons is coming back. You know, Ben Simmons is coming. It gets better. It gets a lot better. And then, you know, you turn on the Jets, and, I mean, Matty Ice and Kyle Pitts are making cold calls. The defense broke this week. I'm sorry. And you can't blame them. They was on the field forever. You know, Matty Ice making the cold calls. But then I got to hear Adam Archuleta telling me something that we already know. The Jets wide receivers are getting no separation. Oh, wait a minute. There's Denzel Mims for 20-something yards. You can't make this up, kid.
It might have been. You can make the argument it was the best throw of the day from Wilson.
And it was.
It was a dart.
He has played poorly. You're right about that. But, you know, I'm listening to Caesar Salah, and he was talking, I think, to Michael Kay and him last week, and he's like, you know, the system is proven. Bro, listen, you can't talk that positivity. You know, he's a positive guy, and, you know, you can't talk about the system. Listen, you got to disturb that groove, brother. Your system needs to be adjusted to what you have to work with. The running backs, the pass blocking, to me, has been better than the run blocking. There's no holes. There's no reason why Michael Carter shouldn't be getting you about 75, 80 yards a game. Every time he gets a handoff, he's dodging five people in the backfield. They got to change the way that they're scheming that stuff.
Well, you know, but here's the other problem, though, okay? The quarterback, part of that is that they can load up on it because the quarterback's not giving them a reason to respect him. They're not giving him a reason to respect him, so they can load up on stopping the run. That's part of it, too. Look, this offensive line, you're not wrong. They're supposed to be road graders. Their strength is supposed to be on the run blocking.
Where was your Yeboah, though?
Yeboah? I lost you for a sec.
No. Where was Yeboah, though? Remember they were talking about that he was active this week? Mm-hmm. I didn't even see him on the field. I mean, listen, you got to reevaluate everything. I mean, we all knew that this was going to be a rough year. We all knew that. Nobody's expecting a kid to play that well. But what I will say is, like, LaFleur, I don't know who has to call or what they're running, but Salah has got to sit down with LaFleur, and they got to scale some things back. You know, the problem is not just to the quarterback the way he's playing, but it's what they're asking him to do. He's not ready to do all of that. They got to simplify.
You, my friend, and thanks for the call, make an excellent, excellent point. And we will delve a little further into that and how it really revealed itself yesterday in just moments.
It's Carlin.
I can't have ketchup if it's not Heinz ketchup.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Interesting report out there we'll talk about in a little while around some baseball. 800-919-3776 and Marcus Stroman and what he's looking for. She's a big number. 800-919-3776. You know, there was something that I thought was interesting yesterday, and I believe it was Adam Archuleta who said it regarding the system that Matt Ryan is playing in now versus what Zach Wilson is playing in now. Matt Ryan is a guy that's a former MVP in the league, and at a certain point in his career, still capable of doing a lot of good things, but maybe not the player that he used to be. I think that's more than fair to say. And Archuleta was talking about, actually, no, that wasn't Archuleta. I apologize. It was Bart Scott on the Jets postgame over on SNY, which, you know, they do a great job on SNY with the Jets postgame. They really do. And they have for a long time. But Bart talked about the fact that Matt Ryan right now is asked to play in a much less complicated system than what you're asking Zach Wilson to play in right now. I found that incredibly interesting because if you're in that position right now, don't you have to dumb things down a little bit for Zach Wilson? I thought that was intriguing. I don't know if this would be a week where I would, you know, after the bye, where I might say, you know what, this is not the worst time in the world for you to sit back and watch what's going on and see somebody else play for a week, especially when it's the Patriots, right? I don't hate that idea. And yet they don't have somebody else to really step in right away and be able to take over and play. So he's going to continue to have to play. This is not the greatest time for a rookie quarterback to have the bye week and to have to have gone over to London to play in this game, because every minute is so precious to them and it gets so overwhelming. I've heard Phil Simms talk about this so many times, about the game being so fast, and by the time you hit week 12, week 13 in your rookie season, you're just so exhausted. You're exhausted because you're used to playing really only through Thanksgiving and then maybe a bowl game, and you get a few weeks off in between. And now you still have 6 and 7 games to go. Meanwhile, you already had your bye week earlier in the year. Like, that's when you could really use the break. But unfortunately for the Jets, that's not the case this week. We're going to talk to more with Rich Cimini. We'll talk about it more with Rich Cimini in just a few minutes. First up, though, Artie in Brooklyn is next. I'll give it to you just to make you feel better, Artie, but I don't know. Go ahead, Artie. How you doing, bud?
All right, Chris. Thanks for taking the call, man. You know, my Uncle Louie's sitting there going, why are you watching this team? Like, you get so upset when they're losing and stuff like that. And I explained to him that we have this rookie quarterback and that if the Jets get the ball back, I'm going to have a chance to see what, if he can, bring us to victory, right? They were down by 3. I mean, the only thing
Listen,
that
you still had a shot. Absolutely.
Like touchdown.
Yeah.
Right. So, everything we're saying, slow start, 3 points in the first quarter, whatever the heck, what it came down to is it's 23-20. We have our defense having to get the ball back. And it's 3rd and 13, Chris, okay? Now, listen, I am not this – I never played pro football or whatever. I never played tackle football. I played two-hand touch with a bunch of old men. I know this. If it's 3rd and 13, I'm not standing 15 yards away. I'm playing on the 13-yard line and playing everything in front of me. The Atlanta Falcons played for a field goal. They played for a field goal. He threw a slant. And not only did he throw a slant, but he threw a slant to not Pitts and not the running back that's killed us, okay?
But Zacchaeus.
Two guys that they took away. And he let them get a first down on a slant. So, I mean, I understand the Jets don't, their secondary should be May and Ashton Davis. Now, for the life of me, I do not understand on the last drive why he wasn't on the field. I have no idea. That's a defensive call. Like, I don't know what the hell he's doing in camp.
Artie, it's one of those deals, brother, and thanks for the call, where you just don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. There is a universal truth that you have to accept, though. Coaches are going to put the guys on the field they feel like gives them the best chance to win, period. Rich Cimini, next, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It's not an ideal situation these days with the Jets. But it's a process, and I know we hate that word. Get back to the calls in a bit. Jordan Ronan in just a little bit on the Giants situation right now. We welcome in Rich Cimini of ESPN New York, who, of course, covers the Jets. Rich, how are you?
Chris, thanks for having me this evening.
Thank you for giving us some time this evening. More importantly, Rich, and let's start with Zach Wilson. Rich, it just kind of looks to me like he is in the midst of a situation where he goes back to what worked for him before. And the default setting was, when in doubt, throw it as far as you can and hope that somebody makes a play. And I get that he's got to get that out of his system, but you can see where the old habits that he had are not going to necessarily play well in the NFL. What are you seeing right now?
Yeah, I see a guy who's learning to be a pocket passer. I mean, his best moments obviously came against Tennessee when he was kind of in his schoolyard mode, you know, going off platform and making those ridiculous throws downfield to Davis and Keelan Cole. And this week, I thought Atlanta did a really good job of keeping him inside the pocket. There were only six plays in the game where he was outside the tackle box, and three of those were on designed runs. So they kept him contained, kept him in the proverbial phone booth, as coaches like to say, and he struggled there. He especially struggled early with some routine throws. I mean, you saw a couple of the screen passes he should have hooked up on. There were a couple of drops. You know, he short-armed one or two. So I see a guy who's, you know, just, you know, feeling his way right now. And you said that default setting is a great way to put it. You know, when he gets in trouble, he tends to revert to what he does best, but he's going to have to learn to play within the context of the scheme.
I got to ask you about two things that were observations that were made yesterday. Get your assessment if you agree, disagree. Bart on the SNY postgame was talking about the fact that, you know, the Falcons asked Matt Ryan now to play in a much simpler simpler system than Zach Wilson is playing in right now. You think this is too complicated for what Zach Wilson should be playing in at this point? Are they asking him to do too much?
No, in fact, Robert Sullivan has asked that question today on the Zoom call. You know, are they going to take some time during the bye week to maybe try to, you know, simplify the system a little bit? I didn't get the impression that they were going to do that. But I thought, you know, I hadn't heard of Bart's comment until you just mentioned it, but I find it's interesting because the Jets and the Falcons run a pretty similar system. I mean, Arthur Smith and Mike LaFleur are from the same coaching tree. You know, they're branches on the same tree, so it's a fairly similar system. I think what Matt Ryan, I mean, you just saw a veteran quarterback, and except for the one pass downfield late to Kyle Pitts, he's been dinking and dunking all year. I mean, he hasn't hit a lot of long passes, but it's just a guy who knows where to go with the ball. He doesn't hitch a lot. He gets it out quickly. That's why you saw the Jets pass rush shut out, zero sacks. And so that's what the Jets hope that Zach Wilson can become, just a really smart quarterback who can play in the pocket and make really smart decisions with the football. Right now, Zach's not there yet, but he's only played five games. I think people have to be patient a little bit. You know, they're expecting overnight success. You know, it's definitely, to use the word you said earlier, it's a process.
Yeah, and look, all you have to do is look at other really, really good starting quarterbacks around the league, and the majority of them went through this same thing, including Josh Allen. I know the Jets pointed it out today, but you look at guys like, you know, Lamar Jackson could run a little bit. Baker Mayfield went through this. Daniel Jones went through this. Derek Carr went through this. So, we can go chapter and verse. Sam Darnold went through this, for Pete's sake. We can go through a chapter and verse.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened. Very few Justin Herberts in the NFL. I mean, he just came in and has been flying high since then. There are just so few guys like that. Back in, you know, the older generation for us, older, you know, it was Dan Marino, you know, who came in right away and just, you know, lit it up. You know, even Peyton Manning had the interception record as a rookie, and he threw a lot of picks his second year as well. But, you know, it's just, and look, you know, the Jets are, it's like the confluence of two big factors right now. They have an inexperienced quarterback. They have an inexperienced play caller in Mike LaFleur. So everybody's going through growing pains at the same time. And you see this stuff, like they can't score in the first quarter. They have no points in the first quarter. The one touchdown in the first half of games, and I think that's mostly, I think LaFleur is getting probably unfairly blamed for that. I think it's mostly a rookie quarterback who takes some time to get the rhythm of the game, to find out what defenses are doing to him, and once he gets in the rhythm of the game, he's okay.
Okay, so having said that, and we're talking to Rich Cimini, ESPN New York, I'm going to play you a clip of Rex from this morning with Dave and Rick. And I thought this was a particularly rough comment to make in regards to the fact that they have not scored early and the reasons why.
That's your preparation. Like, how you start a game is a direct correlation to your preparation. And the fact the Jets have started off as bad as they have, I don't know, it doesn't speak well. At least I always thought it was as a coach. You know, how you come out of the blocks is all that work you've done. You know, and you're right, those first 15 plays, scripted plays, you should be successful. You've worked them all week.
All right, what do you think, Rich? Fair or unfair?
Well, that's pretty fair. I mean, you know, look, the Jets have been outscored in the first half 75-13. Obviously, they're not doing something right in the first half. Whether they're not physically ready or not mentally ready, the fact is that they're getting their butts kicked in the first half. So, yeah, you could certainly point to when it happens over and over again, then you can certainly point to coaching and preparation. But like I said earlier, Chris, you know, a lot of this, I think, is just when you have a rookie quarterback, there's a trickle-down effect. You know, it affects your running game because he's got to make checks at the line. You know, he just missed some easy throws. You know, if Corey Davis doesn't drop that pass, if Crowder doesn't drop the pass, you know, they got some first downs. So I think there's so many factors that go into it. But, yes, the blanket statement is that they're not as prepared as they should be early in these games.
Rich Cimini, ESPNNewYork.com, joining us. Okay, Rich, the run game right now. From what you see, is this more about the line not playing particularly well, or is it about other teams being able to load up based on the fact that Zach Wilson is not giving them a whole lot to respect?
Yeah, I think it's, well, since we're quoting Rex here, I would say it's a combo platter, as Rex is fond of saying. But, you know, I think it's mostly on the offensive line. I think it's a new group. You know, they don't have their best run blocker in Mekhi Becton, so I think that's a factor. It's a new group learning a different system. The outside zone scheme is different. It's a little more complicated than just man blocking. You know, you have to be choreographed, and everything has to be synced up, and it just takes time to get the timing between the blocking and the running backs. And, you know, you have a young back they're relying on right now, Michael Carter, whose role seems to be growing by the week. And so I just think they're out of sync there. I'd like to see more creativity in the running game. You know, they're running this San Francisco-style offense, but where are the jet sweeps, you know, that the 49ers like to run with Debo Samuel? Where's the misdirection plays? You know, I think they could add a little more creativity to this running game, and that would help things out.
Rich, defensively, a little surprised at how poorly they played yesterday. What are you seeing right now?
Yeah, that was a step back because I was really surprised by how well they played in the first four games. You know, we were all on these young corners, you know, in training camp, or they were in trouble. But, you know, they played pretty well for the first four games, but they had some issues against Matt Ryan, against a team that didn't have their top two receivers, most notably Ridley. He was out. But, boy, we saw they just could not cover Kyle Pitts. And I think the NFL got a glimpse there of what it's going to be like for like the next 10 or 15 years. This guy is unbelievable. The Jets tried to put Michael Carter the second on him, their slot corner, to cover him. He couldn't cover him. They tried zone. You know, that didn't really work too well either. And then at the end of that long pass, like, no one covered him. You know, they played cover two, and he ran right past the two safeties, which is not a good thing. And so, yeah, I think you saw a defense this week. I think you saw a game plan by Atlanta that I think other teams are going to go to school on. And they got rid of the ball very quickly, you know, like three-step, five-step, and out by Matt Ryan. And that neutralized the Jets' pass rush. You know, they had zero sacks, and, they had a few quarterback hits, but not a whole lot of pressure. And I think other teams are going to try that now, you know, just get rid of the ball quickly, because we saw what happened a couple weeks ago. They had seven sacks. And so the Jets are going to have to figure out a way to adjust to that. The NFL is a league of weekly adjustments. You know, you have to adjust to the adjustments. And that's what will be up for next for Robert Saleh and company.
All right, last one, Rich, and it's a hypothetical. So maybe a little bit unfair, but I don't really care.
That's okay. Literally.
If they had addressed the backup quarterback situation differently and had somebody like Foles or – Josh McCown here. Do you think upcoming this would have been a week where maybe they would have said, all right, Zach, just watch and check this out for a week?
No, not this week. I mean, Wilson's not playing well. I mean, except for the second half in overtime in Tennessee, or against Tennessee, and the fourth quarter in Carolina. So basically he's had three plus good quarters of a season, you know, so far. But he is not, even if they had an experience, the Josh McCown or a Foles behind him, they wouldn't pull him right now, if at all, because he's not to the point where there's diminishing returns. I see a guy who does make some plays during the game and who shows improvement. For instance, Saleh pointed this out today. You know, the interception he threw on Sunday was a bench route to Keelan Cole, which he clearly threw behind Cole, and it was picked off. They threw the exact same route in the fourth quarter to Cole, and it got 23 yards. And so those are the types of things that you like as a coach. You say, well, he's improving. That shows improvement. And so, no, it's not like he's throwing – it's not like the Patriot game week after week where he's got three, four picks every week. Then you have to say to yourself, well, maybe he deserves a place on the bench. But no, even if they had an experienced guy, they wouldn't be at that point right now.
All right, Rich, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Chris, take care now.
Awesome insight as usual from Rich Cimini. We'll go from the Jets to the Giants in just moments. From the Jets to the Giants, we go. Jordan Rodd on ESPN joining us now. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776. We'll get back to the calls in just a few minutes. Jordan, how are you?
What's going on, Chris? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good.
I need your judgment here. Ready?
Yeah.
So we're in the car right now. My daughter's in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And she wants French fries, so we stop at Burger King.
No.
She gets French fries, okay? Forget, now that's not even the no yet. Should I really let her get ranch to dip them in ranch dressing?
It's acceptable, Jordan. The problem is you went to Burger King for fries. You don't do that.
Well, I
you
got to
call me in advance on these things, Jordan. Come on. Help me out.
No, do you know what... I know McDonald's line was like 50 deep. I wasn't going there.
You don't need to go to McDonald's. You could go to Wendy's.
Chick-fil-A
waffle fries. Bingo, bango, bongo. I mean, come on. Chick-fil-A's lines are ridiculous.
The line was outrageous. It would have been like an hour. My wife would have killed him.
All right. Wendy's?
We're supposed to eat dinner at home.
Well, Jordan, next time, let me know where you are. I will do a quick scan of Google Maps, and I will send you directions to where the best fries in the radius of where you are.
My daughter's hearing this right now, so you're killing me. I'm screwed.
Your poor daughter has to eat Burger King fries. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that your father did that to you. Hopefully you won't have to talk about this in therapy in 20 years. Jordan, speaking of therapy, I'm sure plenty of Giant fans are headed for it. Listen, first of all, just the health of Jones. He's officially in the protocol right now, right?
Yep. He's in the protocol. You're in a wait-and-see mode. When it comes to concussions, you really never know with these, right? Sometimes the guys come out and they clear it through the week. It's cutting it tight. Setbacks or anything that's like kind of slow in that regard, and you might have to wait another week or two, but you're in a wait and see mode with him. In the meantime, Mike Glennon starts if he doesn't, and to be fair to Mike Glennon, wasn't terrible yesterday.
No, and that's where we're setting the bar these days, Jordan. Wasn't terrible. Health update on everybody else, Jordan.
I think the likelihood is most of these guys from what I've been told were like a couple weeks, meaning like 1 to 2 weeks, Kenny Galladay with his knee, Saquon Barkley with his ankle, even though it looked ridiculous, but that thing was the size of a softball. It was humongous in like 20 seconds for his ankle to be so big. It was really spectacular. But those two guys, I think you're looking, 1 to 2 weeks.
Kadarius Toney's also one. He had, you know, he was, you saw him dealing with a leg ankle injury late in that game as well. Something that we're going to have to monitor throughout the week, see how that goes. Like, who's left, Chris? Who else you got?
There's not CJ Board. Okay. Is everything all right there?
CJ Board's their number one receiver right now. That's pretty close.
He is. Jordan.
No, seriously though, you know, and by the second half there, 7 of their 11 week one starters. And that doesn't even include Darius Slayton. He's not technically a starter. I'm including Galladay and,
Andrew Thomas.
Sterling Shepard is the two wide receiver starters. 7 and 11 week one starters were not on the field for the start of the second half because of injuries.
Listen, I think that we're at a point here where we understand what the injuries are and the effect that they have. I guess my bigger question is, and I'm sure it's going to play out here over the next couple of weeks with however bad they are, I guess what I would fear is it's going to make it a little bit dicier in terms of trying to make decisions toward the end of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, if it's 1 to 2 weeks, I don't think it's the end of the world. Right. But I do think you need to factor into the equation when you're talking about Daniel Jones. This is now the third straight year that he's missed games because of injury. He's a tough guy. There's no doubt about that. He plays hard. But the downside of that is he puts himself in some precarious positions. And, you know, when you're lowering your head against a linebacker, that's dangerous in this league, especially when you're a quarterback. It worked against Grady Jarrett, and maybe that was one of the worst things that happened to him. He lowered and ran through Grady Jarrett, and you don't really want him running through big guys. He's your quarterback. So, you know, I think that has to factor into the equation when you're talking about him, because that's a real thing now. And Saquon Barkley, with his contract long-term, like, this is now 3 straight years Saquon Barkley is dealing with injuries. Do you want to pay him, Chris?
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't know how you can.
I don't know how you can right now either. I really don't. But you haven't seen him play at that 2018 level in a few years anyway, that rookie year level, and just injury after injury now. I mean, I'm not a big into the running back investment in the first place, and now it's like almost impossible.
Jordan Ron on ESPN, New York with us, covering the Giants, of course. Jordan, I am shocked at how poorly this defense has played. Did we overestimate what they did last year, or are they just collectively not playing to that level, or both?
Yeah, I'll say both, because I'm with you. I'm shocked at the way they're playing because it's bad. But also, I brought this up with you before the season, that it's possible that they maxed out last year. You know, that Leonard Williams had his best season, that Blake Martinez had his best season, that James Bradbury had his best. I mean, he was a top 5 cornerback last year. He was never that before in his career. So, I mean, maybe they did max up. Maybe Patrick Graham made the most out of having no pass rush that you possibly could, which I think in retrospect is probably true. Because, I mean, they don't get near opposing quarterbacks. I don't care what the sack numbers tell you. Their pressure numbers are not good at all. And opposing quarterbacks can sit back there and comfortably make throws and tear apart the secondary, which is why when you look at the construction of teams, you want to build that pass rush first, and you'll work around the deficiencies you have in the secondary and not the other way around. And I think that's where the Giants are.
Yeah, I'm really not even wanting to talk about them anymore. I'm focusing more right now on where you're driving and what you should have opted for instead. Was there not a 5 guys that would have been a possibility in advance? You call in advance, very underrated fries. Like, there are so many different options here, and I can't believe you did this.
You could do, like, dine out 5 guys, and you call in before you really do that?
Oh, yeah. Jordan, you get an app.
I don't know. It's like a 5 guys is like a fast food place. You go in, the 5 guys you order at the counter.
Right, but you can order beforehand and go and pick it up. Bingo. You order those suckers well done. You don't have soggy fries. They're as good as it gets. There are just so many options. It's mind-boggling to me that you made this mistake.
While you aren't judging me, the initial idea was we were going to get Chick-fil-A and we were going to get the waffle fries. So,
right.
Does that bump me up a little bit more?
Yes, a little bit more, but you should have anticipated the line there. Because there's always
a
line
at Chick-fil-A. No, the line was outrageous. It was outrageous. No, this was... I'm talking like it was 30 to 40 cars deep.
So you live in Monmouth County. I'm thinking about calling Child Services.
You're not staying at 30, 40 cars deep when your wife is expecting you to come home to eat dinner in the first place. You know how much trouble I'm in? The fact that I stopped already? You realize that?
I do understand it. I do understand it, Jordan. And listen, I would not ask you to do that. Here's my goal, and this is what I think your wife would tell you. Anticipate. See it before it happens. Like Daniel Jones at the line of scrimmage, Jordan, see it before it happens.
I'm embarrassed.
Well, you should be.
I don't know what to expect.
Is there anything else for us to talk about with the Giants, honestly? I don't mean to be salty about it, but I'm honestly just wondering where this is all headed.
Have you seen what their schedule looks like? Yeah, their schedule looks like?
Yeah, it looks brutal.
Brutal.
It looks absolutely
brutal. Let's just say they could beat Carolina and Oakland, right?
Right.
And Oakland. Sorry, Las Vegas. Oakland. The Raiders.
Yeah,
let's say they win those two games, right? But they're going to lose to the Rams, we could all agree. They're going to lose on Monday night to the Chiefs.
Yep.
They're going to lose on a Monday night to the Bucks.
Yep.
I mean, what are we talking about? The best case is 3-7?
At that point, that's if everything broke right. I mean, look, we all know that we needed, to just pull one out of nowhere yesterday to really give this a little bit of a life this season. And that was going to be very difficult to happen. And now you could be challenging for a top 3 or 4 pick the way things are playing out at the moment. Because it eases a little bit, but not a ton.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you said, you know what's going to happen, though, Chris. I'm going to be even bigger downer. They're going to end up winning games at the end of the season when the schedule gets soft. And it's going to worsen their draft pick.
The day after Christmas.
I really do believe it's going to happen. And this will make you feel better as well. My daughter, we just got home. She got out of the car. She handed me the fries, and she whispered, "I don't really like them."
See? Come on.
Jordan, like with good intentions.
Yeah.
It was good intentions.
The day after Christmas at Lincoln Financial Field, the Giants do not need to win at that point.
Yeah, yep. Well, do you remember the Chase Young Bowl?
I remember it well, and I still think the Giants really royally screwed it up, even though Andrew Thomas is playing better right now. Hasn't been great so far, but I still think that was a mistake.
I wouldn't be surprised to see it go that way again this year, something along those lines.
All right, good talk.
There's a lot of down in that one, yeah.
There really was.
Next time we do this, probably next week or the week after, I'm going to make a point to come on your show with something positive to start it, so we can start with positive vibes, okay?
And just promise me, because I want to help. I want people to get quality fast food options when they have the chance and they don't know what they're doing, and you've proven today that you don't know what you're doing when it comes to this. And so next time, just say, "Chris, I am on Route 18 in Jersey, coming up from South Jersey, and I am approaching New Brunswick. What are my options? What am I doing?" And I get you in and out of there in 5 minutes, and you've got quality, top-notch. I mean, a Nathan's. Nathan's would have been a possibility somewhere in there, I think. Nathan's fries are outstanding.
Chris, is this an option? Like, is there an app for this? Because I think you just landed on something. You landed on a gold mine here, I think.
I think I just did, but people from Burger King are going to be suing me. All right, Jordan.
All right, let me go get yelled at by my wife for getting the fries now on top of it. Double the insult to injury right now. Goodbye.
See you later. Jordan Ronan took an unexpected turn, but, like, what? Where am I to be optimistic here? Where am I to be optimistic about the Giants situation?
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.